Ethan?
Good morning, everyone. You know, one nice thing about giving a talk or sharing the word here is I will always be the first one to turn to the scripture, not the last sometimes when I'm in the pews. So in preparation for this morning, Doug asked me if I would take the time here to share God's word with you, and I've been just thinking about, I'm a procrastinator, first of all. Everything I do is last minute, and then I cram it in the last minute, and I really try not to do that when I do this. But then my nature emerges, and I do. But I was really taken by a conversation that my wife and I had the other day, and most of our conversations. So we just celebrated our second anniversary. We've got a young son here. He's about 8 months now, and we've got another one on the way. So everything we talk about at the dinner table, at the breakfast table, at supper, her grandma watched Henry the other night and allowed us to go out to dinner, and we were able to just talk. And when we talk about plans. We talk about where are we going to put the next baby? Is it going to be in this bedroom? Because that one's close to the bathroom. And when I get up before we want the kids up and then shower and get ready for work, I don't really want to wake the baby up. And so we make plans about our backyard and our basement and our house and our kids and our marriage. And I know that that's not just, you know, we have a young family and we have a lot of plans to make and a lot of things to consider. But that doesn't really change. To anybody that I talk with, that doesn't change which part of life that you're in. We're planners, and we like to know what's ahead, and we like to plan for what's ahead. We've got emergency funds, and we've got insurance, and we've got, you know, all this stuff that we want to plan. So I was thinking about those plans, and I thought I'd list those a little bit in order. And we get asked those plans a lot. We ask, like, little kids. You watch everybody meet a little kid for the first time, and they'll go, "What? You know, what do you want to be?" And so we start really young. Like, what do we want to be? We want to be a doctor. We want to be a firefighter. We want to be a pastor. We want to, whatever it is we want to be. When we're little, we start making those plans. When we get older, one of the dreaded questions that I hated getting asked was, "What college are you going to go to?" Because this is when I was just about. You kind of stop at, get asking all those questions when you're in high school. You just get to be a kid. And you stop getting asked those questions. I don't have to plan. That was kind of fun being a kid. And then they start saying, "Well, what college are you going to go to? What you have to decide? What are you going to be? What are you going to study?" And all those plans are for events that happen in our lives. And so I thought, what do you want to be when you grow up? And the next one that usually kind of comes, the big ones, what college? The third one that comes, and I'm going to try to put these in chronological order, but they don't always happen that way. You have plans to be married. Do you want to get married? Are you thinking in your life about who you're going to marry and what that's going to change in your, that event is going to change your life? If you're single, once you're married, is it plans for a family? Oh, hey, congratulations, you guys got married. What are you going to, kids coming soon? You know? Right? That's the next event that we got to plan for. And then it's, you know, then with kids, well, how are you going to, do you have any travel plans? Are you going to vacation? Plans to stay where you are, plans to move, or are you planning something for a house or a different house? And then it seems to be like if you get to that point where you're married and you've got kids and you're into a different house, they said, "Didn't you already plan for retirement?" right? You should have done that a long time ago. And if you're not, boy, you really got to do something now. And so that was seven. And then once you're retired, is it travel plans? What are you going to do? What are you going to do now that you're retired? And then after that, people ask you, don't ask you a lot of plans after that. So if you're, you say, I'm retired, I've traveled, or maybe I traveled when I was young, and maybe I just stay at home. Maybe the plan is even now I'm at retirement, I'm still trying to figure out how retirement's going to go. And then you see that commercial on the screen that says, funerals cost a whole lot more than you think. You've seen them, I guess. So that's they're asking you the next plan. They're asking you, do you have plans to die? And if not to die, do you have plans for what comes next, the next event? And I'm not an attempt to speak to people differently in their places in life, but I'm just saying, we all have these events that are ahead, and we need to make those plans in advance. And we need to consider what will happen, because it will happen. Those events will happen. And it's important that we make those plans. So with that in consideration, let's turn to God's Word here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 in verse 22, please. And I beat you already. I was already there. So 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22, which begins there with, for as in Adam, all die. And when I'm talking about plans and I'm bringing up all those that we make and for life events that change and happen, and you're doing a great job of not doing it, but I can hear the silent eye roll. Like, we're going to talk about death. We're going to talk about that's... Ooh. Well, the good news is there's going to be a lot of hope here, okay? And this is an event that I don't know if anybody saw the polls lately, but 10 out of 10 people die. Really, they do. And this is God saying it. This is Paul saying it to the Corinthians in verse 22 of 1 Corinthians 15. He says, for as in Adam all die. For me, it's just a move like right across over to the page. But if you look at verse 48, Paul was talking about, and I wanted to read this whole chapter to you, but I can't. So I'm going to just kind of tell you a little bit of the context. But Paul, in verse 35, Paul brings up this argumentative question, and he says, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? And then he goes on between 35 and verse 48, and he says, all flesh isn't the same flesh. He says there's celestial bodies and there's terrestrial bodies. And when we're talking about the death, we're talking about the death of our terrestrial bodies. And he says, he likens it to this death that we're talking about. He likens it to a seed when it's sown. And it's in verse 36. He says, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that the body... You don't sow the body that shall be. What he means is that little weed seed that you put in the ground, that's not what comes up. It's different. That thing has to die, and it comes up different. And so the rest, between verse 35 and verse 48, he goes on and he just really opens up and explains the difference between our bodies and what has to be changed, because if we're to be in the kingdom of heaven, this body, this flesh won't make it. So anyway, here in verse 48, he says, as was the man of dust, meaning Adam, so also are those who are made of dust. All y'all, right? We're made of dust. We're from Adam. And he says, in Adam, all die. One explanation there in 48 is that the man of so also are those who are made of dust. That's us. I'm returning back to my notes here, so you'll get me to recap just for a second. When we think of being like Adam, we think of being like made in dust. For in Adam all die. I think of John 3:6. That was when Nicodemus came and asked our Lord, and he said, "Lord, what must I do to be in the kingdom?" And I see your head nod. So what's he say? He says, "You have to be born again." And he went, "What? How am I going to be like back in my mama's womb and be born again?" And he says, "Marvel not. That which is flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So we were born from our mother. We were born in flesh. And this is what he means as, "For as in Adam all die." And this is our first birth. And he goes on to say, "Even so, in Christ, all shall be made alive." You can move over to verse 48, the second half, and it says, "As is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly." So this is the same contrast he's making, only over here in verse 48 he says, just like Adam, everybody who's like him, they're dying, going down. And just like Christ, the heavenly man, that's the second half of verse 48, "and is the heavenly man," that's Christ. If your version doesn't have "man" in capital, it should be. "So also are those who are heavenly." And then what's the first word in verse 23? But. So this is kind of like a however. So we're all going to die if we're all born in Adam. If you're here looking at me, you're born in Adam. "Even so, in Christ all shall be made alive." Oh, that's good news if we stop right there, right? Everybody in here shall be made alive. But verse 23 says, "But each one in his own order." And this is this chronological part of this text. He says, "Each one in his order, Christ, the first fruits," meaning Christ first. So Christ is God, and he comes, gets inside our skin as flesh. And he lives the life we couldn't live. And then when he dies and he is, it says, "Even Christ shall be made alive." When he was made alive, that's that terrestrial body, right? He went down with the earthly body, like the seed that was dead. And then what came up was different, was the terrestrial body. And this is saying, "But each one in his own order, Christ first, the first fruits." Excuse me. Well, that mic is right in the way. "Afterward, those who are Christ's." So there's a couple of things here. First, there's a time section that we have to notice. There's timing in this. Did Christ live? Yes. Did he die? Yes. Was he raised? There's our hope. But here's where he's first. That's proof. "Afterward, those who are Christ." That's a limiting statement. Not everybody that was born in Adam is Christ. And if we move to let's go to John 6:37, please. The question is, who are Christ? We've identified everyone who's in Adam. We know that all in Christ shall be made alive, but those who are Christ. In John 6, verse 37, let's go up to verse 35 and just read one statement here. And it says, "And Jesus said to them." Now we know who's talking. Okay, this is Christ speaking. So in verse 37, he says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me." So who are Christ? All that the Father gives him. And when we read the second half there, he says, "will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out." Christ says this. So we look back at 1 Corinthians, verse 23, and it says, after Christ was raised, those who are Christ's also. Those who are Christ's are the ones whom the Father has given him. That's Jesus' statement, right? And the way we can know that, we don't have that list, but the way we can know that is the second part of what he says in verse 37. He says, "Will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." Right? So we can say, are you Christ? Do you have hope in death? Is this a part of your plans? Have you come to him? Because I don't know if you're on the list that the Father gave him to Christ. I don't. So have you come to him? If you're not, this is an event. What's coming next in verse 23? We'll read this through again. Verse 23, "But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming." There's the event. So, the event, when you're little, might be what you're going to be. When you're in high school, it might be what college you go to. But as I work through that whole list, and if we think of it in order in our life, if you ask this little one and you said, "Hey, what do you want to be?" And they said, "I want to be a doctor." I said, "That's great. There's some steps between now and doctor, right? You can make plans for that." And nobody's going to get on that little one for making plans out ahead of high school, college, the steps in between. And what I'm saying is you can think through all those plans. You can think through the marriage. You can think through the retirement. You can think through all those. And there's really no amount of planning that you can get way over your skis. Right? You can't get too far out ahead and miss some steps, because you kind of have to know where you're headed before you start doing the early things, right? The GPS doesn't start with the last turn. It starts with the first turn. So you can't get too far ahead. You got to know where you're going. And what I mean here is we've affirmed that we're all dying. Our bodies are breaking down. And we see that Christ said that everybody that's his are going to rise just like him. And the way we know that we're his is if we come to him. I had one more here. Romans 6:16. Do you not know that when you present yourselves slaves to obey, that you are that one slave? Are you Christ? We could say it like that. We could say, is Christ, are you one of his? Because this is the hope. You're going down. You can't get out from around that. If there's a way out of this, I want in on that. Those who are Christ, are you Christ? Who do you present yourself slaves? That'd be the Paul in Romans 6 type option there, right? Whoever you present yourselves slaves, it starts out a little harsh. He says, "Do you not know that when you present yourselves slaves that to obey, that you are that one slave?" So are you Christ? Do you present yourself? That's a way to know if you're Christ. So here's the event at his coming. Move down to verse 51 for me, please. Here's the hope side of this. Nobody likes to talk about death, even though it's inevitable. Verse 51 in 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." And that biblical word sleep is die. How many people didn't know that? How many people thought that it's like some people just don't sleep? They stay awake all the time. No, that's die. So, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die, but we shall be changed." And that is referring to, that's him explaining everything that he was up there about how our bodies are different, how there's a terrestrial body and a celestial body, how our bodies couldn't handle. There's a reason why we haven't seen God, because if anybody sees him, his glory would kill us, right? It's this, because what's flesh is flesh, right? But we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, this is verse 52. I hate it when people do that, and I just did it to you. I didn't tell you the verse, I just went on reading. Verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So this is the really good news part of this, is not only do we have hope if we're Christ, but we might not even have to see death. Because it says here, each one in his order will be made alive. Christ first, and afterward, those who are Christ at his coming. And then when we read about his coming, Paul says, hey, I'm going to tell you a mystery here. Not everybody's going to die, but you're going to be changed. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And this is caught up, and people use the word rapture for this event. And this is where the conversation that my wife and I had the other night at dinner went, and we were talking about all our plans, and we were about the kids and everything, and I said, you know, I don't think we're going to see grandkids. Yeah, right. I think this, that's sad for a second. No, really, thanks for saying what everybody's thinking. It's true. It's what I'm thinking. And in our flesh, when we look at the Word and we think of Christ coming like tonight, let's just say next Wednesday, and you start thinking how the Scripture says, so in light of these things, what kind of people ought you to be? That's kind of like, oh, if boom, he just sent down a message, says, I'm coming next Wednesday, probably not making the same plans. We're going to be thinking a little bit differently about that. We're going to be thinking about our loved ones. And that's exactly where my wife and I's conversation went, was what I said, I don't know if we're going to see, I doubt we see grandkids. Honestly, I don't. In the shape that this world is in, I wouldn't be surprised a bit if Henry doesn't be, he's not a teenager. And that's not me telling you I got some date, right? Christ is coming. Not like that. But I'm hopeful, and for a second, Courtney goes, "Oh, that's kind of sad." And I went, "Yeah, it is. I don't." And it's because of how much our flesh loves this world, and how much time and how much mental share we put into our life here. And we wake up every day, and whether we're planning college, or we're planning marriage, or we're planning travel, we're planning retirement, or we're planning that funeral that costs more than we think. Are we thinking about him coming? Are we thinking about not dying, not making it to that event? Are you today? I didn't. I did today because I was planning for this like a few weeks ago. But just on a daily basis, I don't wake up and go, what if you come tonight? You know? Those are the kind of plans that begin to change. And it's the end of that plan that changes in our lives as we are transformed by reading this word. And we know that we're sojourners here and we're strangers here. This isn't our home. We shouldn't love this world or the things of this world. And I looked back at Courtney and I said, you know, all that's sad that we'd miss out on some stuff or some milestones or events in life that might be exciting that's coming. But I really hope that he does, because I don't want to see my loved ones die. I think about the joy that would be, that I wouldn't, you know, I haven't lost my parents. And I don't want to do that. That's me. I don't know how to think if it's not selfishly. why do I want Christ to come? I'd be lying to you if I just said, just because I'm completely sanctified and I just love him more than I love anything else. And it, most of it right now, because I'm on this side of glory, is because I'd rather see him come and not have to lose the people I love. But is that a part of your plans? Is that a part of your thinking? Paul says here that his coming is where our hope is found. If you would turn one more time with me to 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 13. This is exactly what Paul's message was about death. He says in verse 13, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep." That's the dead part again, right? To those who have died. I don't want you to... You need to understand this about those who've fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus, who have died in Jesus, who have died that are Christ. We keep reading, he says, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So when we plan for death because it's coming, we don't have any hope. We don't have any comfort. We don't have any solace. How many people have attended a funeral in the last month? Not that many. Those are not so gentle reminders that 6 feet is in your future. And every time I hear somebody come back from one, they went, "Oh, what a tragedy." Right? What he says here is that those who are Christ, it's not a tragedy. It's as natural as birth and marriage and college. It's another event. For a Christian, death is a comma in the story of life, not a period. It's the pause and then. Right? In 1 Thessalonians 4, 13, at the end of the first verse there, he says, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Meaning others that lost their loved ones, that got that diagnosis, and they just know it's a period. It stops. Because they're not going to raise with Christ. They are going to be responsible for their unbelief and for their rebellion. So I would just echo verse 18 here, the tail end of what Paul says. He says, "Just therefore comfort one another with these words." And in summary here, plan for these things. Not only plan for death, which there's half of the population that is under a certain age that just says, that ain't coming, right? My joints don't hurt. I wake up fine. Shoot, my teeth aren't even rot. I'm not decaying, right? I'm not headed that way. It'll never happen. But in the planning, know that and I'll have you turn back one last time and we'll finish this in 1 Corinthians 15 in verse 22. In verse 23, he says, but each one in his own order, Christ first, and afterward those who are Christ. So what slave? I'm gonna just ask you, are you Christ? Who do you submit yourself a slave of? Have you come to him through repentance and faith? If so, the rest can be for you. If not, plug your ears because the rest of this isn't for you. Because at his coming, those who are his will be caught up with him. And the condolence that Paul is giving the Thessalonians, he says, don't sorrow for the ones that you lost, because if they are Christ, you're going to reunite. You're going to be with them again. And it's going to be better than that. You're going to be in a new body. You're going to be in one that can withstand God's glory, because this is eternal life, that you know him and that you are in his presence, and you're going to be able to withstand that. And unless we do something about like transplanting necks, I fell out of a barn when I was young, and I got a bad neck. I need a new one. And so I think about that when I think about the new body, selfishly again. But none of this is for us unless we got to get to know if we're Christ. Because his coming, it says at his coming. I'm not going to get into, there's been so much ink spilt and there's a whole lot about when that's going to be and what's going to happen first, but I can tell you he's coming because he said it. And if he is, if you're not ready, then for the person that's not ready, they said it's going to be like a thief when you least expect it. Because if you knew that the thief was coming, right, you'd be ready. That's not how the Son of Man is going to come. For those who don't know him. So make this a part of your plans. Read this all the way through. I would ask you to spend the rest of the afternoon reading the last half of this chapter and understanding what Paul is talking about between your body being changed and that those in the likeness of dust will be... We'll die with Adam. But a part of your plans, I want you to have life and hope in death and be ready for his coming and be his when he does, and so you can stand with him and not be one of his enemies that he's going to defeat. All of that, between verse 22 and verse 23, all that is in there and more. But that's what I can pull out. And you're going to go sit at the lunch table and somebody's going to say, how was church? And you're going to go, there's a sermon about death. But I'm going to say, this is where we talk about these things. And I think it shouldn't be limited to just this. Tomorrow at the coffee maker at work, somebody's going to say, yeah, I'm making plans for, we're moving. My wife and I are moving to another house. And you go, hey, I'm making plans for death. And it ain't all that bad if you know the whole story. You know who Christ is, and you know that there's life in him. And that if you're his, and if you are his, then you don't have to sorrow for the loved one that you lost. How come we only talk about that here? How come we're not talking about that to people that... You name a conversation you just had with somebody that is a relative or a friend or an acquaintance, and they didn't talk about something about plans. So we joke when we talk about evangelism, and I remember when it was like a Wednesday night or something, and I think Jake and Jake Kramer and Pastor Doug had to do it because nobody else would do it. And they were given examples, live examples of how do you take a normal everyday conversation and turn it into an opportunity for evangelism, to witness, to share this story. And it was something like Doug was some guy in Walmart and he was looking for little Dixie cups, and Jake says, his one-liner back was, "We got cups at church. Where do you go to church?" Right? You got to reach all the way in the... That's a wild pulling those two things together sometimes. But I think about that, and I think about this, and I think, you made 15 plans before lunch. So did the neighbor that you're talking to. You can ask them what their plans are for lunch, and you can tell them that you're making plans for when Christ returns. That's a simple one. That's one that doesn't take, that your listener's not going to widen their eyes and go, "Boy, this guy's really reaching," right? Do that. Do that today. If you know this, if you believe this, if you are Christ, then be about his work, be about his kingdom today, and make that a part of your plans. And that's all I got for you. I hope that applies as much to your life, and you will consider that, and that you will look further into God's word to define how to make that a part of your plans and how you're going to do that today, and most importantly, if you are Christ. And if you're not, that you grab somebody from this church or me and you say, "I got to figure that out," because you're right. Everybody is headed there, whether it's early or late in life. So thank you for your time.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Will you stand and we'll sing those words? God, we thank you for the promises that we can stand on and look forward to, that eternity is ours in your name. Father, may our plans be catered around those promises when we are in you, when we are of you. And Father, that we may not stand on the page that says, I never knew you, Father, at the end of the day. Father, call us to you. Call our hearts to you in repentance. Call our hearts to the recognition of the law that you reveal to us through your word in goodness and kindness and love. May the fruits of love shown us throughout this week, in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Father, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Can we have some ushers?